and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The midterm elections are 5 days away, and the races for governor, attorney general, secretary of state, the state house and senate, and of course Congress have sucked up most of the political oxygen. And that has left an important race standing in the shadows, the race for two open seats on the Michigan Board of Education. Let's talk about that now as we welcome Kobe Levin of Chalkbeat Detroit with us via Skype. Kobe, the headline of your story in Chalkbeat, I thought, summed it up beautifully, a guide to the critical election race you've never heard of.
So I just took a look at my sample ballot, and it's right near the bottom. Yet these candidates are going to play a major role in the coming year in issues like school closures, which will affect thousands of families across the state. They'll make decisions on learning standards that have been hugely controversial over the last year. And they'll also have a big voice in conversations about school funding, which, of course, affect every student in Michigan.
So many, many households are going to be impacted by a race that's at the bottom of the ballot, and I dare say most of us don't know who the candidates are. So before we talk about who the candidates are, let's talk about, first of all, job one for the school board after the election is filling that gap at the head, because since the death of Superintendent Brian Whiston last spring, we haven't had anybody as school superintendent.
Right. So we have an interim superintendent now, but it seems clear, and if you ask any of the candidates, they'll tell you that the most important thing that they will do is pick a new state superintendent. This is the top education official in the state of Michigan. And it's actually that person who will make big decisions about whether, for instance, to close the lowest performing schools in the state. According to a timeline put out by the department, they should have a decision by next July. And it's a big one for families in Michigan.
Very, very big. So let's dive into some more details of these issues facing the state school board. So one of them is, as you alluded to, this what to do with struggling schools and an A through F grading system.
Right. So A through F grading system is something that some mostly Republican legislators are talking about. In fact, there already is a rating system for schools that the state puts together, but if that were to happen, if an A through F grading system were to come through, they would make decisions about, for instance, what does student growth mean? How do you define chronic absenteeism? And those are measures that would ultimately be used to judge schools and potentially close them.
Also, social studies standards. We should dive into this a little bit, because we're seeing attempts by conservative lawmakers to change the things that some of the things that are being studied in school in social studies. Tell us about that.
Right. So there's been a hullabaloo over the last handful of months over an article put out by our. It started with an article put out by our colleagues at Bridge Magazine that pointed out that a handful of Republican lawmakers had sought to remove some references to the NAACP, to gay rights, to climate change. This was viewed as sort of a political move, and it prompted a big outcry. The state held off on the standards, and there have been a handful of listening sessions since then. By all accounts, people are pretty upset about the attempt to change the learning standards. Now, the State Board of Education, which is on the ballot on Tuesday, they make the ultimate decision there. They set state learning standards, which are sort of a guide for school districts across the state. So they'll be able to ultimately put this controversy to rest one way or another.
Am I correct remembering that one of the things on that list was to remove the word democratic from the phrase core democratic values?
I think you may be right, yeah.
And another big issue is the so-called read or flunk law. So how will the people elected Tuesday for the State Board of Education be involved in the read or flunk law?
So the state still does not know what it means to read on grade level. That's because the test that measures third grade reading is not designed to say this third grader is on a third grade level. It doesn't have a standard for that. So they're working right now to set those. And the new state superintendent, who will be picked by the board, of course, will play a large role in deciding what exactly it means. And if they, for instance, set the level fairly low, That is, if they say that a third grade reader is only doing, doing fewer things than they might otherwise, that could change the number of third graders who are held back under the reader flunk law. So again, it's a pretty technical decision. I think these issues are pretty obscure for most folks in Michigan, but the impact on people's lives, again, are just huge.
So we have, as I see in your story, 11 candidates vying for two open seats with eight-year terms, and you focus on the two Democrats and the two Republicans on the ballot. Tell us a little about them, especially where they stand on whether or not they would want to close struggling schools.
Yep, so it's split neatly by party. You've got Tiffany Tilley and Judy Pritchett on the Democratic side who will say, nope. Struggling schools should not be closed. So on the other side of the ballot, Tammy Carlone and Richard Ziley, the incumbent, have both said that at least in some cases they would close the most struggling schools in Michigan. And it bears mentioning that most of those are in Detroit.
What are their views? Can you break down their views on testing?
On testing, yes. So Tammy Carlone stands out as someone who's very concerned about the amount of testing that students are dealing with in schools. This is tied up with her advocacy as a parent against the Common Core learning standards. There was a big political fight over that roughly a decade ago. She was heavily involved, and part of the concern, they would say, was that Common Core would lead to more testing. Judy Pritchett, just for instance, on the Democratic side, is a former administrator. She was a chief academic officer at the Macomb County ISD, the intermediate school district. So she is an education expert, and I think she's well aware both of the requirements that come from the state and the federal government for testing and of, I think she would say, that the value of testing for measuring how students are learning and whether they're learning.
Thinking of what's ahead for the state school board after election day and these two new members take the seats. And it's supposed to be a long enough term to protect people on the board from political pressures. But as you point out in your piece, you know, you're looking at something at the bottom of the ballot where chances are people don't know the names and may just either not vote or just fill in a couple of names and be done with it.
Voters are going to encounter a really big change at the ballot box in Michigan this year. That's the end of straight ticket voting. And we don't know how that's going to impact this race, but there's reason to think that it will be pretty significant. Historically, this race, because it's relatively obscure, has gone in the direction of the overall election. So if the Democrats have a good year, the Democratic candidates for state school board get elected and vice versa. I think it's reasonable to think that maybe folks won't recognize the names here or even won't understand what the State Board of Education is and just won't vote. So that's one concern. You know, but I think probably the overall trend, which is that whichever party does better, their candidates are swept in, will hold true.
Well, you can certainly go to chalkbeat.org and look up Kobe Levin's piece, The Guide to the Critical Education Race You've Never Heard Of, and read what he has reported on the candidates and certainly League of Women Voters guides. There are resources out there to do some homework before next Tuesday. Kobe Levin, Chalkbeat Detroit, always good to talk with you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.